Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the wide and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of your name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the haughty, gather us in the meek and the lowly. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly, give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place a new light is shining. Now is the kingdom and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bones.
To continue with the greeting, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Children, today's gospel lesson talks about that we are to be two different things. It's kind of a metaphor on our Christian lives. One is salt and the other is light. But I've got a song that talks about how there's also water coming out of us, which is another kind of metaphor. So we're salt, light, and water. And it's called I've Got a Fountain of Life. And it's a song that has actions to it. So I'll sing it for you, and then you sing it, and then we'll stand up and teach it to them. Okay, it goes. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, gush, gush within my soul. Spring up, oh well, gush, gush and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, gush, gush and give to me. That life, but abundantly. Okay, so you guys stand up and I'll teach you the song. It sounds like you already know the song, so that's pretty cool. Okay, sing it with me. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, goosh, goosh within my soul. Spring up, oh well, goosh, goosh and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, goosh, goosh and give to me that life abundantly. Okay, you guys stand up and you're going to learn from the children now. They're going to sing you, teach you how to sing this song. You want to do what?
slash instead of this.
Okay. I think, can you teach it to me then? Instead of spring up, oh well, splish, splash?
Yeah.
Splish, splash. Okay. Hey, I went in to learn. You're letting your light shine today. Okay. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, slish, slash within my soul. Spring up, oh well, slish, slash and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, slish, slash and give to me that life abundantly. You can teach an old pastor new tricks. That's good. Okay, you guys can go to your Sunday school class. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.
A first reading is from Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments, and they delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself? It is to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? It is not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. It is not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 112 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A second reading is from 1 Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak of God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
May be seated. So in last week's lesson, we were also in Matthew's Gospel. I always like to tie in a previous Gospel, and we're done jumping between John and Matthew, which is a blessing for me. So thank you for listening about the kingdom of God last week. Jesus, right as soon as he begins his ministry, he patterns it after John the Baptist, who was arrested. And so he says that now he will proclaim the repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It also says that when he called his first disciples, that he came to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven. So the question then becomes, what is this kingdom of heaven like? And I talked about last week it being like his first great sermon, which is the Beatitudes, which is all about vulnerability. And it's both vulnerability that is self-imposed and also vulnerability that is other-imposed. So we have, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are those who are hurting, you know, those who are mourning. Those are other imposed. But there's also a vulnerability that's imposed within ourselves. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a beautiful set, but the common theme is vulnerability. Because when we, I love this illustration. When we give God a full cup, he can't put anything in it. We can't be so full of ourselves and of our wisdom and other things that we give God these full cups. We have to give God an empty cup or at least a half full cup so that God has the ability and the invitation to fill us up with what he has to offer. Now we have yet another dimension to this kingdom of heaven, and that is salt and light, like I was telling the children. And I think salt is a wonderful way to express the metaphor of the kingdom of heaven in our lives. First of all, salt is a seasoning. They joke about Minnesotans have two kinds of seasonings, and that is salt and pepper. They don't have anything else. But the fact is, salt is such an important seasoning. It is really has to be put in a category all by itself, right? Because, first of all, you don't want too much salt. You don't want salt to be salty. I mean, that would be a bad thing to say about food. It's salty. But what you want is just enough salt, a pinch of salt, to bring out the flavor of what's already there. So the meat tastes more like meat and the vegetables taste more like vegetables because you've added salt to it. And isn't that a beautiful metaphor for the Christian life? We are supposed to be in part of other people's lives to bring out who they are so they become more what God intended them to be. It's a beautiful illustration. It also ties in really well with this idea of timing that I talked about last week, which is that a clock that goes too fast is just as wrong as a clock that goes too slow. So we need to be in tune with what God has called us to be. God is bringing out through salt our true selves. And our true selves need to be rejoiced and blessed and shared because it's a great thing. And it doesn't mean we have to work hard to become our true selves. We just are in tune with our true selves. And it's a beautiful thing to say, my life is in tune. It is not going too fast, not going too slow. It's not being something that I'm not. I'm not trying to put on airs. All these things are just beautiful things of the kingdom of heaven that we are made exactly. We are perfect in God's sight. He made us just the way he wants us to be. And it's a beautiful thing to be thinking about. I also think about it in terms of music, Doris. When I teach the children music in preschool, I tell them music is two things. It's a sound and it's timing. And the sound could be high in pitch or it could be low in pitch. It could be long, it could be short. But the sound is one thing that's very important. But so is timing. In order for you to make music, you got to have the sound with the correct timing. And that's also this whole idea that to make music in our lives, we've got to be in tune with what God has given us and realize that God has blessed us the way we are. And that as we add ourselves to the music of life, we add an important element with just the right note, just the right timing. It's, again, this whole idea. I think it carries over in so many different directions that God has blessed us with the kingdom of God with this salt that is a seasoning that brings out flavor from everybody else. The second quality of salt is that it's a preservative. I really wouldn't know this because we are so into refrigeration, but think of Jesus' time. No refrigeration, no freezing. The only possibility they had for preserving the food that they had was to salt it. And I know that's the case because way back when I was a young pastor, my wife and I used to can vegetables. And that's salty brine water. And that keeps these vegetables, indefinitely. It's just kind of amazing. Even fruits, you can can them and then make sure that they are available at any time because they've added that preservative of salt. And I think that's a part of our lives too. The physical capabilities need to be preserved. I think that's what the Interfaith Shelter is doing. We've got some people here today who are from that Interfaith Shelter. And they're here at our church as guests because they are preserving their physical capabilities. They need food, they need a shelter, they need a place to take care of themselves because without taking care of those physical capabilities, they're not able to take care of any other capabilities. It's a primary capability. You have to have that food. You have to have the shelter in order to be able to plan, dream, have a spiritual life, have a corporate life together as socially with one another, a community. All those things are necessary, but primary is taking care of that physicalness, like the preservative qualities of salt. And then finally, there is this understanding of light is also the kingdom of God. And it's really two different kinds of lights. I mean, did you notice that? How different the light is that you might put under a bushel and how different the light is that you see on a city on a hill? I mean, those are contrasting kinds of lights. But the only difference is it's the same light. It's just that it's this light that could be easily covered up. And then there's this light that cannot be covered up because it's a community of light. It's many different kinds of lights. And I think, to me, light is a metaphor for the truth. So we tell the truth, but at the same time, we realize that other people have truth too. And there is one truth, but it isn't something we possess. It's something we have to humbly express. We express the light that is within us, but at knowing that it is only a portion of the great light that is a part of each of our lives. A few weeks back, I talked about immigration. And I talked about how important it is for us to welcome people across our borders. And that it's a part of my tradition as a Lutheran pastor. The Hmong, who are Vietnamese, the Vietnam War in that area, and then Sudanese that we grew to love, my wife and I, because they were have in our home because they were persecuted by Muslims in that country that were in leadership positions. But somebody came to me after the service and said, I have another light to share. They didn't say that, but they said that there's another way to look at this issue. And the other way to look at the issue is, under these circumstances, there are also criminals that want to come across our border. There are people that are want to peddle drugs and bring drugs across the border. There are people that are involved in sex trafficking. And I was thinking, that isn't a part of my experience of the Hmong and the Sudanese, because they were coming from all over the world and didn't have to worry about vetting them for criminals. But we do have to worry about that when it comes across our Mexican borders. And so I appreciate that someone shared their light with me and helped me to understand that there's a bigger picture that we all need to appreciate. And I'm thinking today that, especially when we get into this political season, that we need to somehow figure out how we can hear each other's light and realize that we don't have a monopoly on it. And the only way we can possibly come together as a country is if we appreciate that somebody else has light to share that's not in my own experience or my own bias. And that's the only way that we can be people of God in unity of the Holy Spirit. It's a light on the hill, a city that cannot be possibly covered up. And it's a beautiful thing that God describes as the kingdom of heaven. Amen.